welcome to HBF this morning. It's good to see you. We will not be in Timothy this morning. This is our fifth Sunday, so I apologize if I've thrown you off on the bulletin cover. On our fifth Sunday, which we have about four or five a year, we focus on the Word of God and God's heart for the world in the morning. During this morning, we'll be doing that. And then this evening, we're going to come together as one man, as one congregation, and celebrate the Lord's Supper. So I pray that everyone is available for that this evening. And so I'm not going to take long. I just have a few minutes, and we're going to do some things a little different today. We're actually going to have three speakers, so that's exciting. And I just want to, if you have your Bibles, we turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, and I will get there in just a moment to that passage. But as you're turning there, I just want to speak to you about things that you won't regret. This last week, I was able to attend the memorial service of Austin Long. And Austin and his family attended here for quite some time. And Austin tragically died in a car wreck a couple weeks ago on 291 North and Independence. And it was a very tragic accident. But it was a glorious memorial service. During the memorial service, the pastor pointed out that poem, I don't know if you've heard about the hyphen on your tombstone, you know, the space between when you're born and when you die. I'm not going to rehearse all of that for you, but it's a good poem, and it basically speaks to the brevity of life and the fact that really what speaks of our life is that hyphen, that dash, the dash that we have between our birth and our death and how we invest that time. And that really is a summation of our life. And in everything, there is a season, the Bible says. And HBF is in a good place. We're in a season where we are trusting God to accomplish His mission. And He has birthed us out of, you know, just it's incredible how God has allowed us to get started and established us and where He's taking us. And I count it as a great privilege to be part of it. And we're all in this together. And so I'm excited for all the opportunity that God gives us. And what He really has us doing is taking the gospel to the world, literally as He commanded the apostles in Matthew 28. Around here, if you're around here very long, you'll hear the mission of HBF is to equip the saints of God. And a saint is not someone who has been ordained so by the church. A saint is someone who is set apart for God's use. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved is a saint. They are set apart. They're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So we are here to equip the saints, those that are saved, the saints of God in the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God. And when you hear the word mission, what is God's mission? Well, it's to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts with the gospel. And so that's what we're here to do. And we want to do that, of course, in the power of God, because that's not something you can do in your flesh. And so how do we equip folks? Well, we do it in the with the Word of God. And we have real opportunities. I like to call them real battles, because if you're like me, that hyphen that you have, that dash between your birth and your death, you don't want to waste time. You want to have real opportunities. And God has given us real opportunities. This morning you see before you these flyers that are on the altar. If you may not have seen them, but you will. This morning we're going to have an opportunity to invite folks to the church at the park, which we'll be having next Sunday. And so if you show up here next Sunday, we won't be here. Hopefully, if it doesn't rain us out, we will be at the park. And if it does rain us out, we will be here. But well, I'm not planning on that. I've already asked the Lord to hold back the rain, so I pray that He does. That's in His hands. But we've done that every year now for several years, and it's been wonderful. There's even fruit in our church because of it. And as we go out and we do these activities to engage in the community, be a witness in the community, I want to remind you of just a couple things, and then I'm going to be done and hand over the time to a couple other speakers this morning, those that will be leading the charges as our church is going forth. And this morning, whether you know it or not, I am mobilizing you all in God's mission. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing, obviously, the church at Corinth. And in chapter 3, he has set forth this, in chapter 3 and verse 16, he has set forth the reality that he is going to, he is an able minister of the New Testament. And he goes forth and he says in chapter 1 of chapter, or in chapter 4 in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," what is this ministry? Well, 2 Corinthians 3:6, the ministry of the New Testament. "As we have received mercy, we faint not." There's times when you get weary in well-doing, but we do not want to faint. "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, we're not just able ministers of the New Testament, but we are able ministers, and we're doing this with a holiness, a purity. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What that means is not holding on to things that we should not. Handling the word of God deceitfully. That word deceitfully, if you look it up, is really, the implication is adulterously, right? We're not cheating on God. We're holy and we're pure. It goes on to say in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And beloved, I just have been really convicted about that, the reality that there is a responsibility on our part not to hide the gospel. Now, Paul makes it clear when he says that we have this ministry and that we're able ministers of the New Testament, we often think about, oh, the Word of God, the New Testament, which we should. But he's careful in chapter 3 to point out it's not just the letter, right? Not the letter, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, if you go back to chapter 3 and look at it. You have the teacher, the Holy Spirit of God in you, to teach you the Word of God. Why? So that we can illuminate the glorious gospel, there it is in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I want you to note verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. As we go out in the community, whether it's our community here in Cass County or to London or Juarez or wherever it is that God takes us, we may use tools like these flyers, and we may talk about events that are coming up and activities like VBS and Harvest Party and things like that. But at the end of the day, I pray that we are all ready ministers. In verse 5, that we are not proclaiming ourselves, but we're ready with an answer. We're ready to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, as you hear from the different speakers, that you would ask God, what is it that I need to do to get the word of God where it needs to go to the world? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We pray your blessing upon the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of your word. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, with that said, we could probably even just stop and go out. But let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Sorry, verse 16. Most of us could quote it. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is simple, and it's simply powerful. It brings life, like we've talked about. It's like the breath. I'm having trouble seeing, so I'll switch gears here. It brings life. It's like breath to the lungs or water to the body. And like breath and water, without the gospel, death is the utter end result. I'm going to talk about three things today: the power of the gospel, the promise of the gospel, and the pattern of the gospel. First, the power of the gospel. We need to follow Jesus and to go in the power that he gave in the gospel. Consider again what Paul said about it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that here today? Do you believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth? Turn to Matthew chapter 4 with me, please. Jesus demonstrated the power of the gospel when he was here. In fact, he said that if you simply and truly follow him, he will make you fishers of men. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, we see this borne out. It says in verse 16 of Matthew 4, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, God has called you, and that's why you're here this morning. God's called you to be a part of his mission. Whatever your vocation, probably not many of you were casting nets when God called you. Not fisher's nets. You were casting other nets. And God called you. And he gave you a promise that if you follow him, he will make you a fisher of men. Verse number 19, look at it. "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's not a suggestion, it's a promise. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them." Too many times we get entangled with other nets, and we don't follow Jesus the way that he wants us to do. Those nets look many different things. It could be our job, it could be our hobbies, it could be so many things, especially in the culture in which we live right now, technology or whatever. They can entangle us so we can't follow Jesus. And what we need to do is we need to leave those and to follow him. Jesus is calling you to follow him and to go in the promise that he gave in the gospel. The promise that if you will follow him, he will make you a fisher of men. The second thing I want to look at is the pattern of the gospel. If you follow him, he will make you a fisher of men. But how do you follow him? What does it mean to follow him? Well, Jesus spelled it out in his word. So let's look at that. Luke chapter 9. So turn with me to Luke chapter 9 real quick. Luke 9, verse 23. Verse 23 of Luke 9. "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or to be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and the Father's and of the holy angels." To follow him requires going after him, denying yourself and taking up your cross. And that's so counter to our culture today. Everything in this culture, even more so than when I was a kid, says don't take up your cross, don't deny yourself anything ever. That's so contrary to what Jesus in Scripture said. Jesus said, you're going to have to. If you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, I'll just read it for you. It gives another bit of instruction about this. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are his, hear his voice in his word to follow him." It takes you drinking and hearing his word to truly follow him. Now, that's something we know, we hear about, but something we don't do all the time. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and then to hear him so we truly can follow him. Obviously, we can't follow him literally today. He's not walking around. So how do we follow him? We put off ourselves. We put down the nets. And we get into his word and we hear him so we can follow him where he would have us to go today. In John chapter 12, go ahead and turn there with me. John chapter 12 and verse 25. We'll look at verse 25 and 26 of John 12. Another bit of instruction of how to follow him. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There's that denying yourself again. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We many times talk about, Lord, I want to serve you, but that's where it stops. We don't want to follow him into the service that he calls us, but it sure is nice to think about, I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, it takes following. If we are his servant, then we have to serve in following him. To serve Jesus is to follow him. It says here, where I am, there shall also my servant be. Where is Jesus working in Cass County? Wherever that is, that's where we should be. In your workplace, where is God working? Where is Jesus working? That's where you should be. In your home, where is God working? That's where you should be if you truly want to serve him. We are to follow him, and then we can go as fishers, as his fishers. So we are to follow so we can go. And if we are following him, that shows movement. We've got to be moving and going. He's going to show us where to go if we're following him. And in Matthew 28, that was referenced earlier, to follow him requires going. Matthew, and you don't really need to turn there. We know that in this church. Matthew 28, I'll start at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He said, all power is given unto me. Go. And when we have all these reasons why I can't go, I got to take care of the dog. I got to do this, you know, and the kids need this. The job needs this. And he says, all power is given unto me. All power. Go. So we need to follow Jesus and go in the pattern that he gave in the gospel. Pastor Brian often talks about the fact that when he goes out to witness, and you hear his testimony many times, God gives him fruit. And I believe it's because Brian goes out in the faith of believing that God is sending him as a fisher of men. He goes out expecting and believing for God to keep his word. And that's an example that we should follow, that God has given us in this church a pattern to follow. To believe and know that God has made you a fisher of men and you are following him and going in faith of that promise. But so many times it's often in our heads we think, what are they going to say? What are they going to think when I go, right? That they're going to say this or they're going to think this. And we have all these doubts in our head instead of saying, God is taking care of it. I'm just walking through what God is preparing to do through me as a fisher of men. And we need to follow him and go in our own backyard to our Jerusalem here in Cass County. In Acts chapter 1, which is kind of a theme of this morning, it says this, which we know, but ye shall receive power. There's that power again. Over and over, that's what is proclaimed in Scripture, is that we have the power. But so many times in our heads and our hearts, what are we thinking? We're thinking, I am weak. That these other people are more powerful or they're stronger than I am, and so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to go because I don't have the power. And that's Satan working on you because you have the power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. Our Jerusalem obviously is the Cass County area, where you work, where you live. And if you think about it, the pattern in the New Testament is always Think through the Gospels with me for a second. The pattern is always in the New Testament, believers going out to the lost, sharing the gospel, people getting saved, and then adding to the church. And it's good to invite people to the church, but really what we are doing is we're going out and hoping that that'll be a springboard for God to win them and for them to come in. Because that's really the pattern in Scripture. It's good to invite people to church, but the pattern in Scripture is that we go, they get saved, and then they're compelled to come. The pattern God gave was to follow him and to go out. And that is his promise. That's his power. We need to believe it, and we need to live it. We must worship God, loving and edifying the body of believers where God has planted you. And that's very important, too. But we are commanded to partake in this mission and not... It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's called the Great Commission. And we need to be going and getting the gospel to the lost, and that's our main mission as believers. And then in that, God gives us other things to accomplish that mission. My family got to spend a small amount of time with Pradeep Lima when he was here. Huge blessing. Huge blessing. He made an impact on our family in that short, brief time that he was here. So much so that my second son is desiring to go to India because Pradeep said, you need to go to India. Wow. But Pradeep's whole focus is to worship God and bring as many as he can to Christ. Pradeep's life, all of his life, is wrapped around that mission. And everything he does is aimed at accomplishing that mission. Can we say that that's our life? That everything we have and do is wrapped around God's mission? Or is it kind of a side thing? We need to be bringing profit to Christ. It talks about in Luke 17, and Sam Miles, during the men's retreat not quite a year ago, he talked about the fact that we need to be bringing profit to Christ. We need to be multiplying and bringing others to Christ. Otherwise, you're not adding anything to Christ. And he talked about the talents. He talked about in Luke 17 that the verse that says that you're an unprofitable servant. He talks in the passage of unprofitable servants, meaning that they are adding nothing to Christ if they're doing just what they're expected to do. So how do we profit Christ? The way that we can profit Christ is bringing others to him, and then we are a prophet to him. So we looked at a few different things this morning. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We are to believe in his power. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Believe in his promise. And follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Believe in the pattern that he set forth in Scripture. That's his promise, to follow him, to serve him, to go for him. And let's follow him today to go out after church and use these simple flyers. Take the time that God has given you. I know you'll be hungry. I know the kids will be hungry. There's lots of different things. But go in the pattern that God has given us in the time that you can and use these simple flyers, the invitations for the church in the park, and then the VBS as a springboard for the gospel. This is just a tool, as Brian said, and God will use this as well, but this is a tool for us to get into the hearts and minds of people to share Christ, to share the gospel today, and to see what God would do. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Thank you.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that. Are you ashamed of the gospel? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. I'm kind of getting ready to go to London and I have to ask myself, am I ashamed of the gospel? Brian asked me to come and share a little bit about the London trip and what we have going on. But before I get to that, I want to just encourage you all to be a part of what God's doing here in Cass County, here in our city, and here in the world that we live in. God's doing amazing things. I see it locally. I see it in the hearts of the people that I'm around day to day, but I've also seen it halfway around the world. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, and I'll get to that in a minute, that you can be there. But there's opportunities everywhere we go. We have an opportunity every day we get up to minister to our family. We have an opportunity every day when we go to our job to minister to the people that we work with. That hits close to home to me because I work with a bunch of really lost men. But you know what? I was that way too. And you have to remember that. But there's also opportunities globally. I mean, there's God's working halfway around the world. There's nothing more of a blessing that I've ever seen in my life than to go halfway around the world to somebody that doesn't even speak your own language and to see them worshiping the same God that you do. It breaks your heart. And last week during praise, Matt asked a question, and he probably doesn't even remember asking it, but when he asked it, it kind of hit me, because it's kind of the question that I try to, it's worded a little different, but that I try to live my life by. And he asked, he said, are you willing to step out and do what it is that God is calling you to do? And that's easy. Am I willing to do that? But then here's the hard part. It says, and if not, then why not? What's keeping you from doing what it is God's calling you to do? A couple years ago at high school camp, it wasn't really the main theme, but the theme seemed to be, are we drawing lines in our life for God? We say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I'll lay down my life for you. I'll get saved. And I'll go as far as you want me to do, but I don't want to do that. I'll do anything else, but don't let me, you want me to work in the nursery? You want me to change diapers? I don't want to do that. Well, what do you think God's going to do? He wants to stretch you. He's going to take you straight to that line, and he's going to say, now what are you going to do? Are you going to follow me? Okay. Well, then what happens next? I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I'm a servant. I will do anything you want me to do. You want me to get on an airplane and go halfway around the world? I can't do that. That's for somebody else. What's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to take you to that point because God wants you to be more than you think you can be. In 2008, I got saved, and if you would have told me that, six, 7 years later, that I would have been halfway around the world four different times, this would be the fourth time, that I would be going to different places to preach, I told you you were nuts. But it's just a testimony of what God can do in your life if you're willing to just day by day say, what do you want me to do today, God? And it's hard sometimes. There's times and you're like, I can't do that. And there's times that you can't do that. And you fall on your face, and that's where you need to be, because you're laid down in front of God saying, help me. That's where we have to be, at a place where we're telling God, please, just help me. You know, God wants to take you to do amazing things if you'll let him. God's always going to take us to bring us to a place to take the next step in our walk. We get saved. We finally break down and we give our life to Christ. He wants you to get baptized. Make it public. Okay, I'll get baptized. That's a big step. Well, now what, God? Well, what about discipleship? Brian's up here preaching discipleship every week. What is that? You know, what's the next step? What's the next thing I want you to do? Get discipled. Submit to getting in the Word one-on-one with somebody and learning what it says. When I got saved, I had no idea what the Bible said. But I said, okay, and I went and I listened, and it was just like, I was just like a sponge. I couldn't get enough of it. I mean, it was like every week. I didn't want to miss it. It was great. So you get discipled, then it's like, okay, well, now what? Am I done? I'm good to go. There's ministry. There's all kinds of ministry. Where do you want to serve God? What does God want to use you to do? Okay, I'll be in ministry. And it just goes down the line, guys. You've got D2. get more in depth. What does the word really say? Okay. Well, what about going on a mission trip? I remember when we signed up for the first trip I went on was to London. Imagine that. We're going back. I signed up on the list, didn't have any money for it whatsoever. I had no idea how this was going to work. I was like, God, I hope you can provide. And he did. God can do amazing things if you'll let him. Amazing things. What about HBI? You talk about the next step. I remember sitting here listening to somebody preach, and I think it was Romania. What, Doug Howie. I remember sitting there, and he's preaching. And I'm like, I don't know what he's saying, but he's preaching at me. And I remember saying then that I don't know why, but I'll do this. HBI, okay. And I still don't completely know why to this day, other than I know that I'm equipped to do what God has called me to do, so I can go and do the things that he's asked me to do. It's just about being equipped, being ready to go. There's always something that you can do for God if you're willing. And you might say, well, okay, that's for you, Jason. You know, you were called to that. But that's not me. We'll go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. I try to live my life by this verse. I don't a lot of times, but I always try to go back to it. It's my favorite verse. The high school kids get tired of me preaching at them because this is what I always go back to. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. It doesn't say that maybe someday when you've done all of these things that I just listed, and then maybe a few more, that you will have finally arrived, and I'm ready to be a living sacrifice to you, God. No, it says that's the least you can do. That's the very least I want you to do, is to lay your life down for me. Anything after that is just above and beyond. But just to start with, go ahead and lay your life down for me and do whatever I ask you to do. Well, that's easy to say, but there's days that it's just like, I can't even deal with the guys that I work with, and you want me to minister the gospel to them? Yeah, that's what he wants. Are you willing? Are you ashamed of the gospel? It's a living sacrifice. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. So, Heartland gives us every opportunity to be equipped. Every opportunity. We have nobody here who's been here for any amount of time has any excuse whatsoever. I'm living proof of that, because I tried to use every excuse to not do those things because it wasn't for me, and I had no excuse. Heartland is here to equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God. And my life is a living testimony of that. So here's my question to you then. We're equipped and we live for Christ. So what other answer can we have to the question that Matt asked us last week? Are you willing to step out and do what it is that God's calling you to do? And if not, why not? I don't know what God's calling you to do. I don't know what God's calling me to do half the time. It's different every day, guys, but are you willing? Because Romans tells us that we're to live, we have to be a living sacrifice. He gave everything for us. We need to give just a little bit. So it should be simple. So that's all I have to say about that. So we're leaving for London tomorrow. I hope that you'll pray for us. There's three of us going, Paige and I, my wife Paige and I, and Hannah Beechner. Some people think, well, that's a small team. I was talking to Brian Clark, and he has me convinced that that's exactly what God wanted. So praise the Lord. We're doing exactly what God called us to do. I'll tell you a little bit about how it lays out, but just a little bit about London, because you think, well, London, that's no different than here. Well, you're right. They speak English. But other than that, I can't tell you that it's a lot like here. I looked some things up this morning. London, the city of London, has 13.5 million people. And you might think, well, that's nothing. We went to India, and they had 20 million people in one city. Well, here's what I think is cool about London. They say that there's 13.5 million people that speak 300 different languages in one city. 300 different languages. And I think this is the key to why Brian Clark says London is the city where the world lives. You might think, well, London, it's not really that much of a stretch. Sign up for the next trip. Because it is, and it's awesome, but it's where the world lives. You never know who you're going to come across. It's an evangelism trip. We're going to go out onto the streets. London is divided into 32 different boroughs. That's kind of like little townships. He lives in the borough of Bromley. It's the largest one. Every borough, every city, town, has what they call a high street. It's a street, main thoroughfare where people travel. There's shops on both sides. It's kind of like what the plaza would be, only one main street. And there are thousands of people up and down the street every day. And what they do is we go out on the street with shirts just like this one. That's why I'm wearing this. And it says, bright red shirt, no religion, just Jesus. Well, what does that mean? And our goal is to walk along with people, because in London, everything is down to the T as far as time. Everybody's in a hurry. They live on public transportation, so they don't have time to stop and talk to you. They have to catch the bus. They have to catch the subway. So you walk along with them, and you say, hey, can I ask you a question? And most of the time, they say no. But if they do, yeah. He asks one simple question. Who's Jesus Christ to you? Well, how many different answers can you get to that question? Who knows? Well, the purpose of this is not to completely lay out the gospel. Because how often do you walk down the street and get to share the gospel with somebody? It doesn't happen very often. Brian Clark's goal is to, for the month of June, he brings in four missionary teams back to back for a week at a time. They go out and they all do the same thing. I'm glad we're the first team and not the last, because I'm sure by the end of the month, those people are tired of seeing these shirts. But we're the first ones there, and what he does is he just gets people's contact information. They say no, or whatever their answer may be. Well, my answer to them is going to be, John 14:6 says, Jesus Christ himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, and you're not going to have time to share the gospel. So what Brian Clark's goal is to, can I get your phone number? And I'll let you go. And there'll be a man here who lives in London that'll get in contact with you. He'll take you out and have a cup of coffee, and he'll tell you more about this. You'd be amazed how many people will give you their phone number. Brian Clark has said that by the time the month is over, he spends the rest of the year getting in touch with these people, taking them to coffee, sharing the gospel with them. There's fruit in his church. There was fruit from our team that went last year. God does amazing things if you're willing to let him do it. You have to be willing to let him do it. I just pray that you're encouraged. I pray that you're willing to step out and do what God asks you to do. So I've got just really no time left. I'll just ask you if you would pray for us, for the team, just for boldness, for safety, traveling. Pray for the hearts of the people. They say that London is the United States 20 years in advance. You can see how our society is totally downgrading. Well, they're 20 years ahead, so that's how much more vile they are. Pray for the hearts. Pray for words fitly spoken, that we would be able just to answer the way that God would have us to answer. Pray for contacts. And for my prayer has been from the beginning is this. If nothing else, I pray that the small team that we have, we can be a blessing to Crossroads Baptist Church. I pray that we can be a blessing to Brian and to Mindy, and to just minister to them, if nothing else. And that not only would our lives be changed, but maybe there would be lives changed there as well. Thanks.
Y'all, this is good stuff. We have before us living epistles. And you all are living epistles. I'm excited about what God is doing, and he's calling us to do this morning. because we have the opportunity today. We strategically set aside this day to go. Now we can use even the things that, how hard is it if we go from to someone's door and say, hey, while I'm here, who is Jesus to you? Can you start there? I'll follow up. Give me the name. Can we just start? Can we go out and get out of our comfort zone? That's really what we need to do. So this is the thing. There are opportunities. And as I was talking earlier, and I'm just going to wrap this up here, because there's still some business that we're all going to get in on here in just a few minutes. So you got to stay put to the very end. That hyphen, that dash. I was thinking about that this week. I don't want any regrets. I was thinking about my life, and I thought, you know what I don't regret? I don't regret getting saved. I don't regret that at all. I don't regret investing any time that I've invested. I don't regret investing in the Word of God, whatever its cost. I don't regret taking my first missions trip. I don't regret quitting my job and coming to Heartland. And I don't regret the things that God has called me to do. I just don't. Now, to say I don't have regrets, that'd be wrong. There's all kinds of things. And I think at the end of the day, we got to look at the time that we have. You know what I regret the most is any time I've wasted. Oh, that God would allow us to redeem the time. I regret if I've been ashamed, and I'm like, you know, that's a good question. I have been ashamed, right, to proclaim the gospel. You ever been there? Where you've allowed fear to eclipse your heart, and the reality of the truth of God's word really doesn't resonate enough in your body, in your life, in your heart to really speak the gospel as we ought to speak. We ought to do that. But God puts us in this paradigm where we have to make choices, where we have to choose. And so there's some things you can choose today. You can choose, right, to allow God's power to be sufficient. You can choose to allow the Spirit of God to fill you. You can allow yourself to invest. Maybe you need to just invest in the Word of God and allow God's Word to fill you up and the Spirit of God to teach you all things whatsoever He said unto you. Maybe you just need to go today and just go by faith, trusting God to help. Maybe you just need to say, you know what, God, I need a passport. And by faith, you go to the post office and you get the form and you fill it out. And you don't know where you're going yet, but you know by faith God has called you because Jason said so. Or Pradeep got in your grill. And you get your passport so that the next opportunity to go to Juarez or London or wherever God needs us, or Nepal. By the way, Randy has an emergency trip to Nepal to help build those little Quonset buildings for the people. And we need people to go. And let me tell you something. If you don't have your passport, you cannot go. You have to be prepared to go. But if you have that, you know what? Talk to Randy. He needs anybody that's able-bodied. This is a real emergency trip, so I'm not just saying anybody. You have to talk to Randy because he needs able-bodied men that can take that trip, and they got to be ready to go right now. I didn't say worry about money. I said just be willing to go right now. There's money if you're willing to go right now. Is that right, Randy? Amen. Okay. Maybe that's another thing is money. Maybe you need to set aside some money. You know, you tuck it away here, you tuck it away there, or maybe quit spending on things you don't really need and put it into something you want. You know, set aside some money so that you can take advantage of the opportunities. Because God has all kinds of opportunities. He's presenting one right now today. And so I'm excited about all that God is doing and all that He is and all that He's doing in our church. And I pray that you are as well. And I pray that today that you can get involved in what we're doing. And whether you know it or not, you are involved. Because here, after we're done with our normal business to wrap up the service, we're all going to come together. We're going to pray for our team that's going to London. And I want everyone in here to participate because he's like, Brian, I want to go now. Well, good. You are going to go. You're going to go by helping Jason and Paige. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that they have fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Something that seems impossible, but it's awesome because it happens. That's what happened last year. Steve comes back, Tells us this report. Brian comes back last fall. Guess what? The guy that Steve talked to on High Street got saved, baptized, is now a member in Brian's church, being a disciple. Isn't that awesome? That's God's good hand. And he can do that right here in Cass County too. If you just trust his power and you follow his pattern, you know what? He will give you for his sake, not for our sake, but for his sake. It's not about our church. It's not about building numbers. It's about building the kingdom of God so that we are profitable servants. The power, the pattern, and the profit. Are we profitable today? Are you a profitable servant? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And forgive me, if you're in the room this morning and we've allowed anything in our life to keep from you the truth of what this is all about, which is this, that Jesus did live 2,000 years ago. He was God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just any old man. He was the God-man. He came to this world on purpose. That purpose was to die on the cross as our sacrifice for sin. Jesus came to die, the God of the universe. And he came and he died on the cross and he was buried. And by the way, before he was buried, he said, "It is finished." All of God's wrath was poured upon his own son so that we wouldn't have to face it. And he absorbed that. He took that on. He was accepted as a sacrifice for our sin. He was buried. And you know what? You couldn't keep him down. He overcame sin and death. He rose again the third day. And he's alive right now. He ascended to the Father. And then he descended and he came back and he taught his disciples for 40 days. And then he sent them and he said, "Go. Tell them what happened. And show them what happened by your life." And beloved, this morning we have an obligation to show everybody what's happened. If you're one in this room that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never come to the point where you've never trusted Jesus alone to forgive you of your sin, you've never maybe even understood the point of that sacrifice, or maybe you just looked at it as some distant story in the past, but the relevance of what happened 2,000 years ago hasn't set in on your heart, today is, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today. God loves you. He died on the cross for you, and he wants to redeem you from the curse of the law. What's that mean? Well, you know what? Even if we try to keep all the rules, we can't do it. If you make up your own set of rules, you won't keep them. And that's our condition. And that's why God loves us so, because he doesn't want to leave us there. And he makes a way of escape through Jesus Christ. Jason said it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. There's no other way. It's his way. It's God's way. It's through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we can